Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Change Your Mind podcast, where we explore personal development, spirituality, and science. I'm your host, Chris Ashley, and I'm really excited for my guest today. Her list of accomplishments is so long, and she is out there doing amazing work in the world. And I'm sure we're going to all leave with so many amazing insights. First couple of quick announcements, though. Head over to the links in the show notes. You're going to find a lot there. You'll find ways to connect with my lovely guest, ways to connect with me, ways to sponsor the podcast, free downloads, courses and coaching links. What else? Find a link to my book, Change Your Mind to Change Your Reality. It was endorsed by Michael Beckwith, Bob Doyle, Marcy Shimoff, Anita Morjani, many others. And as always, this podcast is part of the Los Angeles Tribune Podcast Network. We have a massive movement happening in personal development. We have incredible events every month. Literally just got off of our leadership show where we had amazing headliners like Dean Graziosi and Joseph McLennan and Jim Quick and Sharon Lecter. And it was so cool. So come be a part of what we're doing. All the podcasts are amazing.
What if the one thing keeping you stuck is the way you think? Welcome to Change Your Mind with Chris Ashley, the podcast where science meets spirituality and mindset becomes your most powerful tool for transformation. I'm Chris Ashley, author of Change Your Mind to Change Your Reality, trainer, speaker, and lifelong seeker. For years, I battled trauma, depression, anger, chronic illness, low self-worth, and the weight of old stories. Until I discovered how to rewire my mind, reconnect with my divine nature, and consciously create a new reality from the inside out. This show is here to help you do the same. Each week, we explore the intersection of personal development, spirituality, and science, diving into topics like healing, emotional mastery, entrepreneurship, resilience, and the quantum nature of reality. You'll hear powerful stories, gain practical tools and real conversations that will help you change your perspective, get unshakable confidence, and live the vision your soul has always known is possible. Whether you're navigating a major life shift, building your dream business, or seeking deep healing and alignment, you're in the right place. So if you're ready to break through, take back your power, and create a life on your terms, this is your moment. Let's break free from the patterns that hold us back, awaken to who we truly are, and rise. Your transformation starts now.
All right, with me today, I have Malaysia Harrell, and she is a board-certified psychotherapist, a retired captain from the United States Air Force, a spiritual transformation coach, an award-winning entrepreneur, a veteran retired from the United States Public Health Service, a keynote speaker, and an author who helps women find freedom and fulfillment. But really, she is a healer, an unleasher, and a light that leads women back to their true selves so they can live fully and finally. As a licensed psychotherapist and board-certified clinical social worker, Malaysia blends clinical expertise, spiritual wisdom, and intuitive guidance to help women overcome their past trauma, heal their hurts, and define their vision for their lives. Her incomparable coaching guides clients on an intimate, insightful journey to break free from limiting beliefs and expectations and discover lives of authenticity, purpose, and bliss. Welcome, Malaysia. That's amazing, like I said.
Thank you, Chris Ashley. I'm so honored to be here on your show today. And thank you for the opportunity.
It's my pleasure. And, you know, I know you checked me out beforehand, which I appreciate. It's amazing, like, how many people come on the show and have never, like, watched an episode or done any research. But you know that I always ask people the same question to get started. And that is, what is your origin story? So what is it that put you on this amazing journey to do all these things and help women?
Well, thank you for that question. My origin story begins during childhood. Like many people, I suffered from mother wounds for many years. I had experienced a lot of trauma as a child, all types of trauma. And I built this life where I was wearing this mask, and it was the mask of societal success, what everyone else deems as successful. So the titles, the jobs, the cars, the degrees, the marriage, like everything was just, you know, really for show. And I was really searching for that love that I didn't get from my mom. And so I was getting it and trying to get it in other ways. And it wasn't until 2019 when I got promoted to captain/colonel, depending on which service you're in. And my grandmother, who raised me, had passed by that time. And I immediately was like, oh, I got to call my Nana. And she wasn't there. So I started to really ask myself, you know, and ask God and ask the divine, like, what is it that you have for me? You know, I went into the military after 9/11. So I always had a life of service even before I went in, but I went in because of that. And in 20, so you look, be careful what you ask for. In 2020, I deployed at the height of COVID to the Navajo Nation, and I returned home. And ultimately, I had a near-death experience. And it was that experience that really catapulted me through a big journey and tunnel of facing, you know, the traumas and facing everything that happened to me, writing my own memoir, teaching memoir, and ultimately retiring. You know, I was kicking and screaming. I was like, nope, I want to stay active duty. I want to make admiral. Like I had all these plans, and I really surrendered. And once I surrendered, that's when the world started to open for me where I am now today.
Wow. I had no idea that you were active duty like so recently. So I want to talk about your NDE for sure. But can I just ask, like, you were forced to retire. Like, why was that?
Because I no longer was medically fit to serve. Okay. So after the near-death experience, I came home and I had sepsis in my left hip. That was a whole journey because I was in the hospital at Walter Reed Medical Center and they tried to send me home. They didn't find it. They couldn't find anything. So they sent in the psychiatrist. And so that, you know, that
oh my God, that's being so a mental health
provider, right? So, now I had to surrender because I had all these other medical ailments and I had to take oral chemo and I was up to 200 in prednisone. I was up to 254 pounds. I had Bell's palsy, had to go to a lung, you know, transplant center. I mean, so many things happen and it just, you know, things were spiraling out of control. But I mean, I wouldn't say that that was a good thing that happened to me, but I would say that whatever happened needed to happen to get me where I needed to be now.
Of course. That's how it goes, right? So wait, I just want to make sure I'm clear. So how did you get sepsis, I guess? And then did all of those other things spiral from that?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So, I can't say exactly scientifically how I got it. What I will say is when I was in the most desolate area in the Navajo Nation, there was no resources and you couldn't drink the water. And many of the people there didn't have running water in their homes. Well, because we weren't given prophylactics, we didn't have immunizations, we didn't have anything to protect us. And that was one of the most red zones in the country, in the world at the time. The death toll was so high.
From COVID, you mean?
From COVID.
Okay.
So I was taking baths normally when you travel somewhere, you get in a shower, you get out, you know, you clean up, but you couldn't even drink that water. And I believe that the water had something in it, because I had cut myself on that leg, you know, shaving and everything. So that's where I believe it was from, but I can't say, you know, with scientific proof, but my intuitive guidance tells me that that was part of it.
That makes sense. And that's like so sad that the people that live there are in that water all the time.
Yeah. And yeah, the death toll was really high. That's what I will say about that. Yeah.
But the death toll from COVID, or do you think that was because people's immune systems were already compromised?
They had a lot of comorbidities there. And also they live tribally. So wow. In some instances, you know, an entire generation got taken out from that family. So yeah, it was, wow. It was a big awakening for me.
Yeah. That's so scary. So, so you got sepsis, like you were in the hospital, they tried to send you home, which is infuriating. It's so crazy how you have to like be your own advocate, right?
In the healthcare industry. Absolutely.
Which is like a whole other tangent, but so when you say you had a near-death experience, did you actually like cross over, or was it just like you got so sick?
I got so sick and I mm-hmm. got close. So I actually knew I was transitioning. And I couldn't explain that. I couldn't articulate that because they would have put me in the mental health, you know, side. And so I was making amends with God. I felt myself leaving. But I was so high all the time too, because the drugs were so, you know, significant that they were giving me, but I still was in extreme pain. And so this type of pain was unlivable. So I was making amends with people. I knew it was time. And also I didn't think about it at that time, but my grandmother who raised me, my Nana, came to me in my dream several weeks before I went in, and she told me it was time for me to go with her. And so I was like, cool, I had a good life. I was at peace. Like, oh, okay. You know, I get to go be with my Nana again. And so now I know that she was coming to warn me.
That's interesting. So do you have any intuition on like what made you survive that? If we're getting messages from loved ones who have passed that like, hey, it's your time. Like usually that's, what do you think changed the universe or God's mind or whatever it is, whatever you believe in?
Well, I don't know if she was actually saying that. I think she was warning me to say that there's some, because with me, like they didn't believe me. Right. And then me, I think because I actually didn't go in the hospital for a long time. I was trying to treat it like I've done bodybuilding, races all over the world, traveling. So I tried to really do it on my own. And she knew that. She knew like, oh, Malaysia's not going to the hospital. And so I think she was actually warning me. But I think that God had a purpose. I said, you know, any day that we are on this earth is for a reason. And so my reason is to tell my story, you know, and help others who have worn these masks and who've put these traumas really nicely in the closet and they have them all organized. Because when that time comes, that door will open and everything will come crashing down. And so it's to help guide people through that and through their own transformations. You know, Dr. Wayne Dyer has the movie, The Shift. And really, I think, you know, I really went through my shift at that time. But yeah, it wasn't my time. I thought it was, but it wasn't.
Yeah, no, I that's amazing. And you know, the reason I ask about the origin story is because everyone has that shift story, right? And it helps listeners who are like going through it right now realize that like there's life on the other side of that storm that they're in the middle
that's
of, right?
So good. That's so good. Like I wouldn't even be sitting with you here today. Like I wouldn't even probably know you or have known you for a minute, you know, until I did go through a certain shift, but it changed my entire life. 3 weeks after I retired, I'm meeting with Howard Schultz, right? The billionaire who started Starbucks. I'm getting I'm meeting people. I'm on podcasts. I'm speaking internationally, nationally. Like my life has changed so much. And I said to myself, Chris Ashley, like, if I have another chance at this, how about I live my dream life? Like, yep, how about it. I build this around my dream life? And that's exactly what I did. So I'm like on the other side, it's not just surviving. It's complete thriving once you decide to surrender and decide that you're worthy of living the life that you want to live, that you've always wanted to live.
Beautifully said. I love that. So how did you start to build this new life after this shift happened? Like, what were some like good learnings and steps that you took?
Well, for me, I had started my business, holistic wellness business, in 2017 because I knew eventually I would be retiring, but I didn't really do a whole lot. I did workshops, I did coaching, but I didn't do a whole lot with it. And so I will say the first part of it was identifying my own healing journey because I couldn't be there for anyone had I not looked at what I was going to do holistically. So I did everything. I went to different retreats. I went to the Reality Center in Santa Monica, California. I did a lot of spiritual and holistic practices because I realized that the medication was going to take me out if nothing else did, because I was up to the 254 pounds. I was stopping breathing at night. And so I said, well, if I don't take ownership of, like, even when you're working with physicians, you have to take part in that relationship, because only you are going to be given divine messages that are going to tell you and lead you to where you need to be once you decide. And that's exactly what happened. I got a coach, and he really helped me not only, you know, for my entrepreneur side, but also giving me the guidance because he had gone through his own stuff. Of things that I could use and things that I could do to heal myself. And so the biggest part was doing my own healing journey. And again, I already was doing coaching and all that before, but it really transformed into more of, you know, on the spiritual realm. And so I'm just excited about that. And of course, a lot of readings, a lot of education, a lot of working with other spiritual coaches. So, you know, it's a journey. It's a journey. And it's still a journey. It's not like, oh, I've arrived. I'm great.
Totally.
You know, it is a complete journey. But once I decided and I aligned with my divine assignment, like the types of clients I'm getting are like dream client, like aligned, so aligned. People who are transforming not only themselves from the inside out, but their businesses as well. So I've had clients who closed down their brick and mortar. Once you get clarity, right? I think that's the biggest part of it.
So how did that feel to get clarity? Like, do you remember that moment? Because you're talking about how like everything is so aligned now, and it started being aligned like weeks after you retired. And for listeners who might be, I don't know, trying to figure out their purpose or trying to find that alignment or clarity, like, do you have any advice for them?
Yeah. So everybody asks me this every single time.
Oh, well, I guess I'm just.
No. I mean, not like people on podcasts. I'm talking about people who want to get clarity, for their lives. And they ask me this all the time. And I'm like, you have to start from within. Because if I ask Chris Ashley, like, what do you think I should be doing? And just say you were a coach that's going to say, well, this is what I see in your future. It may not be in alignment with what the divine has for me. So you can go on a witch hunt and not address your healing and all your traumas and just try to do and chase. But what's going to happen is it's going to feel hard. It's going to feel challenging. And so really the biggest part is getting clarity from the divine, from God, from whoever is your higher power, because, you know, you may have had inklings and people may know like, oh, I told you should have wrote that book, or, you know, people may have inklings, but it's not until you get clarity from the divine. And to do that, you have to be still. So the book, The Power of Now, is just so, I'm actually going to see Eckhart Tolle in a couple of months, but
he's awesome. Have you seen him in person before?
I haven't.
I got to see him like a year and a half ago. He's awesome.
Wow. Yeah. I'm like, this is so big. And this is like the 20-year anniversary of his book being released. And I'm like in awe. Like, I'm just in awe. But that book, even listening to his voice tell the story and getting still, You will, again, you have to cut out social media off, like TV, all the nonsense and the craziness that's going on. Get away from all of that and just be still. Be still and know, and you will start to get messages. People will come into your life. You might pull up a news story and it might trigger something. So that's the first part of it because, yeah, I mean, of course you can, you know, work with other people as well, but only you know what your journey is and what it's going to be moving forward.
Yeah, I love that. I love that idea of just like tuning in and being open to messages because they can come in surprising ways, but like, you know that they're messages, right? And like, and trust that when you're like, oh, that's a message. Don't like second guess it, right? Don't get in your head.
We always do that.
You're like, oh, it's just a song lyric. Like,
tell me again. I know you gave it to me, but show me one more sign.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? I just want to make sure.
Yeah, exactly. But be open to that too, right? I think like I just got off another recording and we were talking about like feeling in alignment, like what lights you up, what makes you feel excited. Like that's a really great indicator too. Cause oftentimes like we're like, oh, this is what I should do. But it like, it's just like you said, it feels like work.
It feels like, oh, I gotta do this. It feels hard. It feels, but I will tell you, so it's not just a matter of, okay, I'm gonna be mindful. I'm gonna sit here. I'm gonna meditate. When you're in deep darkness and you're in pain, going through the dark night of the soul, like there's nothing that's going to help you have solace in that moment sometimes. So one of the things for me was I was at a breaking point, like a transition pivot point. And I was like, I cannot live like this. I couldn't walk. I'm on a walker. You know, I'm overweight. I'm headaches, pain. And I was like, I want to live or I want to die. Mm. Wow. So I told God, like I had a whole conversation. I'll either want to live or I want to die. And I actually, when I said I wanted to live, because I used to be a correctional officer and I had to, you know, look at living, breathing people, right? So not just bodies. So I don't just want to be in a body. I want to actually thrive. I want to feel like I have meaning, that I'm giving back, reciprocity for me being brought into this world. And so I really got both because there is a dying that happens, right? The old version of you to get to this new version, you will die in some sense. And you know, that rebirth that you have, it's going to feel hard. It's not going to feel easy, but birth hurts, right? Birth is painful for both parties, right? And so when you get through that though, you're obedient to your calling, that's when the lights are going to shine. That's when you're going to see the sun. That's when you're going to see the birds. You're going to hear the birds. You're going to see, it's going to feel like spring. It's going to feel like a new beginning for you.
I love that. That gives me goosebumps. Yeah. So one thing I really love that you said a little bit earlier is you had to do all your own inner work first. And, you know, I want to talk about like, you work with so many women to find their purpose and live fully and authentically. And finally, I love that line. And everyone has a story, right? Like everyone's gone through like trauma or just emotional stress or something. Like, does all of that stuff that we've been through like block us? Like, but have you noticed like people can't really like attain their goal and live their purpose until they've dealt with that darker stuff?
I don't know if it's that way for everyone because everyone has their own story and how they navigate the world. But what I will say is for the people who are not obedient, yes. Mm-hmm. Some, you ever notice like people say, I quit this job and I switch schools and I'm having the same problems I'm having that I had at the last one. Like right. You're running to this, or I'm in this relationship and I'm dating the same person over and over and over again, the relationship. So what's the definition of insanity? So yes, right, for people who are not obedient, oh yeah, it may take something that's going to cause you to have that shift and that pivot?
And when you say obedient, you mean listening to those signs and following your life path that you're supposed to be on.
Yes, and following your calling. So the people who are showing up at work every day, who have gastrointestinal issues, who are having headaches every day. I did a talk last week and people were talking about they have headaches. And one of the ladies said, it started when I got this job.
Isn't it funny how it's like so clear to everyone else? Yeah.
Yes. The answers are right there. So if you keep feeling like you're bumping your head up against the wall every single time, then you know there needs to be some sort of shift.
Yeah. And it's funny because it's like a lot of times God or the universe or whatever you believe in as you're listening will kind of like give you little hints, right? They'll kind of poke at you. And then if you don't listen, it gets louder and louder. And then it like takes you by the shoulders and shakes you, right?
Yes.
And you can avoid so much pain if you just A, tune in, right? And like listen, or B, like trust your own intuition about something that doesn't feel right. But we're so stubborn or we're so closed off or yeah. I don't know.
Well, you know, I think in the age of social media, we look at online, we look at the TV, we look at the community and the outside world, and we say, I'm supposed to have that. Right. I'm supposed to look like that. And if that's not for you, you know, or that path is not for you, then it's going to feel difficult. And again, I have to remind myself, I got this tattoo that says the art of surrender, because I have to remind myself, I mean, we're human too, we're a spiritual being having a human experience. Mm-hmm. So we still have to constantly remind ourselves. But once you get into that art of surrender, I'm going to tell you what, no matter, even if you are starting to go veer down a path that doesn't make sense, you're going to quickly pivot quickly. You know, before you were in relationships longer than you needed to be, whether it was even friends or family or, you know, whatever job you had or whatever it was, a degree. I've seen people get law degrees and do something completely different, not even take the bar. Like, it's something that happens that says, you know what, let me figure out if there's something different for me. And you, like you said, there's those signs. You know how you watch, my husband loves Marvel, and there's every different movie has these Easter eggs, and they kind of give you a premonition into the next one. And that's how life is, right? Everything you went through gives you those little Easter eggs to get to, you know, that next thing. And so now I realize, okay, oh, wow, I didn't listen over there, or this was happening, and this is the message. So you're able to put it all together after the movie reveals itself.
Yeah, that's really funny. I use that exact metaphor in my book. I've never heard anyone else say that, but you know,
I gotta get your book.
It's so true. Yeah, no, it's so true that you know that you've grown a lot when you can look back at the tragedies and the challenges and the adversities and be like, oh, that's why that happened. Like, I learned from that, or I leveled up from that, or I grew from that. But you always have that choice, right? If you grow or not. So you're talking about surrender. Like, what does surrender mean to you?
Surrendering means to me to walk in my divine calling. So the calling that I was assigned to do, and walk in it fully and freely. Because when you make that shift, people knew you for this version of you, and they've a lot of times benefited from that version of you. And so it's going to feel very uncomfortable, you know, for people around you, and you may not have all of the same relationships that you had before. Your boundaries may look a little different. And so, you know, not allowing the world to say, because is it easy to come on and talk about this? No. Like, I could be on a beach somewhere. You know what I mean? You know, I'm being obedient to it. And I noticed, so like, I, again, I don't like using the words life and death is in the power of the tongue, but you know, the head stuff that goes on, the pain and all that stuff. But I could have, you know, this crazy migraine and I get on here and talk, you know, I'll go live or something and it doesn't go away, but it doesn't exist when I'm on there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I mean, and I think a lot of that has to do with you're not focusing on it. You're not worried about your own stuff. You're focusing on service, right? On the audience, on the people in front of you.
Yeah.
I used to teach a lot of yoga, and that was one thing I loved about it is for that 60 minutes, like I wasn't in my own head, right?
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, that's really cool. So in this idea of surrender, like, I guess like, how does someone even figure out what their life purpose is? Like if they're stuck in a job that they hate right now and they're listening and they're like, I don't know. I know I don't want to be here, but I know, I don't know what I want. Like, how do they figure that out?
Well, again, I think as you start to work on your healing journey and be open to the unfolding, the answers will be revealed to you.
Mm.
So I knew that I was supposed to be this wellness mogul. Somebody named me that. So I loved it and put it on there. And I claim that I'm a philanthropist, right? I started a nonprofit right after this because a lot of people, you know, especially in the veteran community, you know, there's a high rate of suicide.
Yeah, it's horrible.
And so we're human like everybody else. And it was like, I want to show people that no matter what you're doing, you can continue to serve no matter what uniform you're wearing. Now you just get to be a little cuter. You know, you get to wear
this. You're like, I get to wear this pink cap with ruffles.
You put your little nails on. Do something cute. But you can continue to be of service. If that is something that is in your spirit, that is within your heart, continue to do it. But you're going to allow the unfolding and the answers will come to you. You know, I listen to a lot of stories, and that's one thing too. I think listening to the stories and the storytelling, you know, you talked about Anita Manjuri. I listened to her ebook because at the time I didn't know if I had cancer and I ended up with another diagnosis, but it's similar. It's treated the same way. And I had to hear those stories, the story of the spiritual entrepreneur, the story of Jeffrey Allen and his spiritual journey. You know, he was a, what was it? A scientist?
I can't remember. I love him though. He's so calming every time I listen to him talk.
Oh my goodness. And hearing his story of how he just, the unfolding of it, just listening to other people's stories, getting centered, getting away from the world. Sometimes you have to do what you need to do to get away. But I believe that most people have some sort of idea. There's something that keeps coming back to them that is like, no, that sounds too crazy. I'm going to start a talk show. No, that sounds scary. I'm not going to be a talk show host. There's something that keeps coming back and it won't. And the idea will not leave you. There, you have Easter eggs already inside of you that's already been planted. You just need permission to be free. And once you surrender, that permission will be granted to you.
Yeah, I love that. And it makes me think about like whatever you're passionate about or you're interested in, right? Or like you're reading people like Eckhart Tolle and listening to Jeffrey Allen. It's like, because you're drawn to that, right?
I'm so drawn. Like I could get immersed in another, I feel like I'm in another realm. You know what I'm like, the world doesn't exist when I'm really in. The flow state. And we just went to my niece's prom and she was like, Mom, lock in to her mom. And now it's like, you're locked in. You know what I mean? When you lock in. But yes, so part of that is your passion, but also your creativity. Your creativity is associated with your sacral chakra. And that's when they say that's where your abundance is. That's where, so, you know, it's whatever you did when you were a child. And it doesn't have to, you know, it doesn't have to be your source of income. You could do that as a fun thing. Right? Mm-hmm. Maybe you were an artist. I know for me, mine has always been fragrance. I am an artiste of aromatherapy and fragrances. That's cool. It has the ability to take me to another world. Some people is lifting. Some people is playing sports. Some people yoga. Some people it's art or different type or music. But mine is fragrance. And so, yeah, tapping into that. So eventually, I do have a candle company, but, you know, now with a lot of the health things, I'm kind of rebranding on that. But do what you love. When I smell fragrances and I'm pouring candles, again, the world doesn't exist.
That's really cool. And I mean, yeah, I mean, there's so many healing benefits to like essential oils and yes. all of that. Yeah.
It's cool. It doesn't even have to cost a lot of money. You think, oh, for me to be this talk show host, no, YouTube is free. You could literally put this on right now. Me and you, we got to talk, you know, put your little background on. I'm actually helping a client start a talk show now. So that's cool. Interesting that you said that.
So that's interesting. Let's use that example. Like, what first steps are you having that person take?
Well, everybody is different. All right. But we do work on, I give you exercises to work on and get clarity on what your gifts are. So normally you'll just be writing down, what are your gifts? What are the things that come to you with the minimal amount of effort? But for everyone else, it's going to be easy. That's where you start with. Because remember we said it's supposed to feel easy a little bit, not easy per se, but it's supposed to feel like ease, it's flowing.
Right. There's not like tension or friction.
That's correct. And so we start with that. And I'm blessed to have clients who are obedient to their calling. I have the client that I'm talking about who's starting a talk show. She had a thriving business, graphic design, and she decided to leave that was paying her money, start a podcast. And now she's completely rebranding. We're rebranding her personal life and rebranding her business. And she's now shifting. The other one that I told you, she left her brick and mortar and now she's getting into cybersecurity and all these other things. And so people just come into their own once we start those exercises. And we also do like a lot of subconscious work. It's easy to say, let me just think about it. Oh, I got it. No, it's all in your subconscious level. And when you get in tune with that, when you're at your meditative state, right before, you know, you go to sleep, right when you wake up, those are like those miracle times when you get more information. So I don't know if you notice when you go to bed and you start getting all these ideas and you have to have a notebook and you have to write it all down or take your phone and put the notes in there. Yeah. You get clarity. I've heard people, the lady who owns who owned the Honey Pot, who founded the Honey Pot, she had a dream. She was not a chemist. She had a dream from her ancestors, came in her dream and gave her the formula for starting Honey Pot.
That's really cool.
And now I think she sold it. It's like probably valued at, you know, multi millions, if not $1 billion company. But yeah, it comes to you in your subconscious because your waking mind is gonna, and if we don't reprogram your subconscious, you know, you ever notice people, they'll lose 50 pounds and gain back 70. It's right, because their subconscious mind believes that they're supposed to be that way. So even if my mind says, I'm going to diet, I'm going to work out, something is going to continue to shift you there. So we have to work a lot on the subconscious reprogramming.
So how do you reprogram the subconscious? You know, we keep throwing out names of people we love. I love Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Listen, I've been talking about, I mentioned him at my conference last week too.
Cool.
So I watched the movie Heal. I didn't know about him. I didn't know about Anthony William, the medical medium. I just knew I needed to heal myself.
It's a so great documentary. On this
quest, the documentary.
Yeah, it's
so
great.
I went on a quest. A lot of it is meditations and hypnosis. I actually got certified in hypnosis as well. Cool. But you can do self-hypnosis. There are hypnoses that are on YouTube. I would be careful with some of that, especially if you have trauma, depending on what your situation is. You know, I would consult someone who is a hypnotherapist. But yeah, so it's a lot of work with reprogramming, and you do that through the subconscious mind. So there's different ways that you can do it. A lot of people meditate, a lot of people practice mindfulness. So even mindfulness in whatever you're doing, if you're eating, you know, are you like you're putting water, you're drinking water right now or whatever you're drinking. So I put the water in my mouth, and I do this exercise with people when I do my talks and my clients, and I show you how you can change your bodily response in 5 seconds. You know, so I do the one with the lemon where I take you through that whole exercise and I have you smell the lemon, look at the lemon, and you will start to salivate. You will start to taste the tanginess of the lemon. But I actually, so if I'm drinking something, I actually put it in my mouth. I swish it around. I make sure my lips are cut, you know, are quenched by it, and I before I swallow. So everything is a meditative experience. You don't have to just sit down and do it. I think everything can be a meditative experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, life is a walking meditation, right? An open eye meditation.
Yes, I did. Have you done one of the walking meditations?
With Dr. Joe? Is that what you're talking about? No, I'm turning 40 in a couple months, and all I want to do is go to his advanced retreat for my birthday. So
I'm hoping we can. Yes, yeah. You have to do it.
Okay, so speaking of Dr. Joe, one thing I love that he talks about is how we have these like emotions that we fall back on, right? Like some people it's anger, some people it's guilt. And like Tony Robbins talks about that too. So have you found that in your work, and how does it I guess, how does it show up or block when people are trying to be obedient and walk their path?
Yeah, so it definitely shows up. And everybody's is different. Most of it is associated with grief. Everybody is grieving something, whether, like I was grieving the loss of who I was. You know, even with my body's not the same that it was, you know, that it was. It doesn't operate the same way. And I just have to experience the world different. And I love it. I actually love that because I get excited about figuring out how I can make it work for me. And I make it work. We have all these resources now. But yeah, so a lot with grief, anger is one of the emotions associated with grief, you know? And so some people, I mean, sometimes it's forgiveness. You know, everybody may be dealing with something different depending on what their story is. And unforgiveness will show up in so many ways, your body, your mind, you know, anger, it will show up in so many ways. So sometimes we do need to work with the client to get down to what the crux of that is. That's why being a mental health provider so long, it's helpful that I have that background, because I can really help people to really determine, you know, what will be aligned for them on their healing journey.
I totally forgot that you also have that therapist background. Yeah. So, I mean, which is great. You have like so many credentials. So how much of that do you pull into the work that you do?
Actually, it's a big part of it.
Yeah.
The spirit, but what I love now, because I do have mental health patients still. And so, but what I love now is that, cause everybody needs something different. So it just depends. Some of us, we got to get you right before we can even, if your hygiene's not right, we're not coach, you know, everybody's different. Most people that come to me for coaching, they're coaches and they're entrepreneurs, but for the people with mental health, things are a little bit different. And so we really just mend the two. Here's the thing. The mind, body, and spirit are a collective. So I can't work on one without the other. I can't work on, if I'm working on my mind, I have to work on my body too, right? I'm no longer 254 pounds, right? So I'm the smallest I've been in years, you know? And so that is the thing. It's a collective, and we need to work in coherent with everything. And with the mental health side, really the Western medicine side, we don't really always bring in the spiritual side. So that's the thing that we now bring in as well.
Yeah, that's really cool. So you're seeing straight up just mental health patients as well. That's so interesting.
Yeah, I feel like I'm giving back. So the Surgeon General just put out a report. The former Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, about the loneliness epidemic. And so even before the pandemic, it really started, right? And so the pandemic kind of exacerbated that because we're in the age of social media and you see these things on social media and you think everybody's thriving but me. No, people only show you the good things. They're not showing you that they're crying as soon as they turn off, you know, the computer or your right. phone. It's so funny because someone put this out there. Someone was an influencer and they were at a restaurant and they were like smiling in front of the camera, showing this stuff. And as soon as it turned off, the person looked so sad. And so it just shows you that it's not real. And so there's not enough mental health providers available. There's not a lot of access to care. And when you're aligning with someone to do mental health therapy with you, it may take a couple of people because, again, this is a deeply spiritual, you know, it's very serious and most people would never go to counseling. And so you want to make sure that you're aligned with that person. And also there's not a lot of people of color, right? Or different ethnicities that can really identify with some of the things. So I'll open back up just to support and feel like I'm serving.
Yeah, that's great. It's interesting. You talked about the cell phone back when we were talking about Eckhart Tolle, and you made me think about, and I don't even know if you connected those two, but you made me think about when I went and saw Eckhart, he was in Hawaii and I was like, oh, cool. That's perfect. And I was like, I'm not going to touch my phone for a week. And I felt more at peace than I felt in a really long time. And then when I turned the phone back on at the airport, I noticed how it affected my mental health.
Yes.
And I think about these people, like I know people, and I'm sure you know people, who they don't really have a lot of friends in real life, but they're so online all the time. And it's like, that's their community and their social life. And I'm like, that's gotta just affect the human brain in a different kind of way. Cause we're tribal. We're supposed to be in community.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, you just said that. I went to Costa Rica. I took a course. I'm in my PhD for mind body medicine. And I took a course.
You just like keep throwing out like amazing things.
Well, I just thought about just it casually. Because you were talking about tribal. So I went to Costa Rica. I took a class on decolonialization. I wanted to make sure that whatever I offer or just, you know, being mindful, right? And we went to a place with the Blue Zones and they were people who were tribal and just getting back to who we really intrinsically are, who we are as people. That now the food was healthy, that being out in nature, the animals, the people, being in communion, that was one of the most healing things ever. Wow. So that, what you were saying, being tribal, being in communion, even if you're at a retreat or you're somewhere, find who your tribe is now. And that's very important on this next phase of your journey, because you might feel a little like, oh, I don't belong, or I feel like I'm going crazy.
Hearing you say that, like I felt like a sadness come up that we don't live in a world that prioritizes that we're not living that way, that you have to like go seek that. Like, I don't know. I have a 15-month-old and I'm like, oh, I wish I had brought him into a world that's like that. Right.
No, you create it.
Yeah.
You create it. You make the world what you want it to be. You don't subscribe to, and that's what makes you seem so different to others, right? But you will attract your tribe, your language, your people, like you attract them. But I just had to create it. And so many of the people who I, because again, my circle's not as big as it was. It used to be huge, right? I was active duty working for the highest levels of government. And now I have a very small group of people that we support each other, that we do life with, and they're all on that same journey, but many of them don't live around me. So there's some people that I just met them in person, you know, because you met like during COVID in these different groups. Clubhouse was out there. You have different masterminds. And now we're starting to, some people I haven't met yet. in person, but we're starting to meet now.
Yeah. Two things you've touched on that I don't think you even like meant to highlight, but I want to highlight for listeners that are so important are get a mentor, right? Or coach or whatever, like someone who can see around the corners and like has walked the path, right? Like find someone who's actually walked the path, and masterminds, right? Like I'm in two every week, and it's like you keep each other motivated and inspired, and you can bounce ideas and you learn together. It's like people on the same path. So it's like so priceless. Good.
Yeah. Cause if I came on here talking about spirituality and you start looking at me like, I mean, I already knew, you know, reading up on your show notes and stuff, but it's like, I'm not going to be around people that are not aligned. I'm not going to even be there. And it feels so good. It feels so good. I'm learning from you, you know, today and learning different things. And you want to continuously be growing and elevating yourself and really ridding yourself of the things that no longer serve you.
Yeah, I really like that. Like, I was just thinking as you said that, like, it feels good to be around people who are aligned because, like, I think if I tried to talk about some of the things I talk about with people who live in a different freaking reality than I do, like, they would be like, what the hell is this crazy chick talking about?
Yeah.
But part of me is like, do we want to, like, plant seeds in those people?
Not necessarily. You will by being who you are.
And the right people will find you when they're ready.
People are watching. People are watching and lurking. So it's funny because...
Yeah, I always forget about the lurkers.
They're lurking. Here's the thing. Like, just say I put some post out or something. Like, the people who know me won't like it. Well, some people do, but some...
Isn't that funny how that happens? Like, your best friends don't like it.
They won't press. They won't share. But they'll send me... text messages, or they'll go in my DMs and they'll be like, how do you know this was so profound, but they don't tell you. So yeah, you're planting the seeds by being who you are and showing up authentically, because now you're giving them permission to do the same thing.
That's beautiful. I just had something to say. Oh, it's just like with the lurking thing, it's so funny, like people you like don't even think about are watching your life and getting inspired by it or care. And it's just, that's a weird thing about social media. That's cool. It's like, I don't know, like, for example, like when COVID happened, my parents were on this cruise ship and it was like one of the first cases of COVID, and they got detained off the coast of Oakland, and then they got flown in like full hazmat gear to a military base in San Diego where they made them quarantine there. Like it was all over the news. It was national news. And I don't post a lot of like personal stuff on my personal Facebook. It's all on my business. And I was posting about it, and like people came out of the woodwork. Yeah. I'm like, I didn't even know you used Facebook.
Exactly. They know everything. That they know more that was going on with us than we do. I'm going to tell you what, so you're planting the seeds. You've always been planting the seeds, and people are watching.
That's such a beautiful idea. So it's like what you were saying, like just be your highest self, be on your path, be authentic. And just by being you, you're going to light up the world. I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
You are wonderful. I'm so glad that you found me. I'm sure people want to know where they can find you online and how they can work with you and your website and all that stuff. So you want to take a moment and do a little shameless self-promotion?
Sure. Thank you for this opportunity again. I really enjoyed our conversation. I get so excited when I get on certain shows and, you know, have certain conversations, especially about just growing, you know, as a human, as a spiritual being. I could talk about that. That doesn't feel like work to me at all. But yeah, so I'm on most social media platforms. I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Facebook, but I'm highly, because of Facebook, like, I had an old account. And so, I never came back to that again. I'm not who I was before. And so I started a new kind of one just to have start my group, my Dream Life Manifested community, and other groups that I was in. But I have a forward facing group page. So Malaysia Harrell, you can find me on Facebook, but Instagram is where I'm primarily am. I'm on TikTok as well. And my website is www.malaysiaharrell.com for my holistic wellness business. It's blissfullifeconsulting.com. And of course, you know, people contact me for coaching, for speaking engagements, for partnerships, and things like that. But I'm just excited to support anyone who is interested in, you know, in growing and elevating to the next level.
Wonderful. And I will put all those links in the show notes. So if you're driving and listening or somewhere you can't write that down, don't worry about it. You can always come back. If this resonated with you or there's someone in your life you think it would resonate with, please send it to them. Like, comment, share, subscribe. Let's help lift humanity up. Have a beautiful rest of your day, everyone. And I'll see you next week.
Thank you. Malaysia.